Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Join me as we go east to Cambodia, a nation which 4 years ago was staring in the face of a potentially devastating AIDS epidemic. It had the highest HIV infection rates in Asia. In a population of only 12 million, around 170,000 people were HIV positive. Of those, only 3,000 received the antiretroviral drugs they needed to stay alive. All this in a country that is one of the world's poorest, with a third of the population living on less than a dollar a day. But only 3 years later, there's been a dramatic transformation, thanks mostly to the supply of these free antiretroviral drugs from the Global Fund to Fight AIDS. Caritas Internationalis, the Catholic Church's Aid and Development Confederation, is at the forefront of efforts to assist those living with HIV/AIDS in Cambodia. It provides food, income support, counselling, and helps make sure HIV-positive people get access to the life-saving medicine they need at the government hospitals. Patrick Nicholson is head of communications at Caritas Internationalis and has recently returned from a visit to Cambodia 3 years after an earlier visit to that same country. He spoke to Susie Hodges about the dramatic improvements he saw compared to his previous visit there.
Well, it was amazing, really. When I went, first of all, in 2004, one of the only things that aid workers could do was provide palliative care to people who were dying. That means take them off the streets and provide them with some kind of dignity in which to die, and that seemed very inadequate to me at the time. Whereas now, people are receiving the right drugs, which means that they can extend their lives. So people I met before, they die, now they're living, they're going back to work, they're seeing their children grow up, they're living normal lives. I mean, some of them say they even forget they have HIV.
Nonetheless, it's still got a very serious AIDS crisis, particularly compared to other Asian nations. So what percentage of the population now does have access to these life-saving antiretroviral drugs?
Well, in theory, it should be 100% access, but because of the hospital system in Cambodia, which is very weak, only 50% currently get access. So, yeah, sure, Cambodia still faces huge challenges. It has the biggest HIV rates in the region. It's a very poor country, so there are enormous obstacles for its long-term development. But on the other hand, it shows what money can do, what giving people the treatment they need can do, really turn a country around from facing further killing fields to one which is now getting back on its feet and its economy can grow and people can live longer lives.
I know that you visited a hospital in the town of Siem Reap and you met several patients and talked to them who were suffering from HIV/AIDS. Can you tell us something about their cases and what they told you?
Well, there were some very, very ill people in this hospital, you know, really, who looked like they were on their last legs, very thin, they had very pallid complexions, they did, you know, they were on drips. Some were even too ill to talk, but the difference was that, you know, for their families who were there, there was a future, that they would receive the antiretroviral drugs that they needed, that they would receive food and proper medicine. And so they had a future because they could see other people in their villages been through the same process and were now living back in their villages. A lot of the people that I met, as a big sex industry in Cambodia, which is very much for Cambodians using it, and a lot of the people I met were sex workers, so really a high risk group of people. But there wasn't really shame attached to the fact that they got HIV. One of the women I remember, her husband, who was HIV negative, he'd sort of forgiven his wife and was, you know, he was really hopeful and optimistic that she could get better and that she, you know, that they could see their child grow up and that they could live, you know, close to a normal family life, which is just an extraordinary change. I mean, in my job, I visited parts of Africa and other parts of Asia where you don't see the same drugs available, and the difference is just startling, because once people have HIV or are tested positive for HIV, chances are, you know, they're going to die very quickly. And so it's really revolutionary almost to be able to prolong someone's life.
So HIV transmission is declining, but it's still the worst in the region. Why did it get so bad in Cambodia?
I think because Cambodia was coming out of 20 years of civil war, which completely destroyed its infrastructure. Cambodia is the poorest country in the region, one of the poorest countries in the world. It does have some behavioural activities. Cambodians do have some behavioural activities like the use of sex workers, all of which contributed to the fact that HIV could spread so quickly. People weren't able to go to hospitals to get testing. There was very little education, and the use of sex workers meant that HIV spread at a very quick rate, and there wasn't the infrastructure, the health infrastructure, to cope with that.
What about AIDS orphans? Because back in 2003, people there were predicting a sort of tidal wave of AIDS orphans because the epidemic was spreading so rapidly.
That's right. People were predicting 200,000 new AIDS orphans then, and 15,000 of which would be HIV positive. That never happened because of the drugs program, which meant that parents were living longer and so watching their children grow up. So instead of going to institutional care, these children stayed with their families, which is the best place for them.
Now, how does Caritas work fit into this picture? What specific help is Caritas providing?
Well, Caritas is very much a grassroots organisation, so it's really within the community. And what it, because of that fact, it's the first point of contact for many people who believe they may have got HIV and AIDS to come to. And Caritas will provide them with testing. If they prove positive, it will provide them with food, with some financial support in terms of supporting kind of microfinance projects like chicken rearing, that sort of thing. And it will also take them to hospitals and make sure that they're on the right drugs programs for their level of illness. And then once they're on those programs, it will make sure that they keep taking those drugs, and it will monitor their health and provide them with education, and also with help in coping with some of the stigma attached to HIV and AIDS. It runs workshops in some of its centres where people come in and they share their experiences, and so it lessens the stigma that's sometimes associated with the virus.
Is the stigma, though, still quite strong in Cambodian society?
According to the Cambodians that I talk to, no. I think the reason is because people aren't dying, and if you have people dying, then there is that strong stigma. Because of the education campaign and because of the improvements it's made on in terms of healthcare, that stigma has, to a large extent, subsided.
But presumably when it comes to getting access to the antiretroviral drugs, you need to go to a hospital for that. How do people manage who live in remote areas? You know, how do they manage to get to the hospital? Do they have to travel long distances to go there?
That's one of the real problems. Only 1 in 100 Cambodians ever see the inside of a government hospital. So healthcare is really scarce on the ground. And many people are too poor to afford the transportation into the hospitals. And once they get there, antiretroviral drug treatment is a constant month-by-month thing. So, you know, where do they live? They can't afford to go back and forth. So that's one of the real issues that Caritas and other aid agencies are facing, how to solve this transportation problem.
In fact, you say that some of the people you met who were coping with this problem, you said there was a case of a widow with 8 kids who was living near the hospital but risked being evicted.
Yeah, exactly. One of the women I met, she had 8 children. She had a rented place near the hospital, but the landlord wanted to move her out. Siem Reap is a really developing very quickly because of its tourist potential. And so she was being moved off. She had no idea where she was going to go to next. She couldn't return to the countryside because that would have meant her not being able to take the drugs she needed. So she had no idea of the future. So there are still lots of dramatic stories of people who are in danger and are in trouble. But I still think that when you look at the picture that I saw 3 years ago to today, it really has changed enormously.
And where's the money coming from for these antiretroviral drugs?
It's the Global Fund for HIV and AIDS, tuberculosis and malaria, which was set up under the auspices of the UN, and that provides the funding for Cambodia's antiretroviral treatment. It was identified by the World Health Organization, the UN's health arm, as a target country, but the money is not there forever. So the thing we need to do now is secure long-term financing.
Because if that money were to dry up, then an awful lot of people would die needlessly.
Absolutely. I mean, there are other things you could look at with how that money is spent as well. I mean, that money is one of the issues that Caritas, as a Catholic aid agency, ponders, is that the Global Fund for HIV, most of it is spent through secular institutions. Only 2% of it reaches Catholic aid agencies and the Catholic Church, despite the fact that Catholic aid agencies provide 25% of the care. So that's a real issue for us, how that money is spent and could it be spent more effectively.
As I said earlier, you met and talked to a number of patients or their relatives. Is there any one particular case that stays in your mind because it symbolises, shall we say, the dramatic improvements for people suffering from AIDS in this country?
Yeah, there was. This young girl I met called Kim Hang, I mean, it was a terrifying story in a way. She'd been sold by her family into sex work at the age of 5. Her parents had died and her extended family had sold her in there. So she worked as a prostitute until she was 20. And when she contracted HIV, became too ill to work, so the brothel kicked her out. And when Caritas found her, she literally was almost mentally insane. She couldn't talk, she couldn't communicate, she couldn't wash herself. She was extremely ill, very thin. Anyway, they took her in, they made sure she was on the right drug therapy. And, you know, over a very short period of time, she began to speak again. She began to engage with the community and she began to take part in life again. And now she's, you know, leading workshops, talking about her experiences, which is a great story of change from someone who was really as good as dead.
You've just been listening to the head of communications at Caritas Internationalis, Patrick Nicholson, speaking there to Susie Hodges. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.